It's another fine day at Camp Dynasty. I am Counselor Austin, joined by Counselor Colin. And it is a very fine day, Colin, because it is officially draft week. The NFL draft is only 3 days away.
Unbelievable. This is the last time you'll be hearing from us before Thursday the 25th. Unreal that these guys are getting drafted. What are we doing about that?
What are we doing? Well, I'm going to tell you, we are going to put our NFL caps on like we did last year and celebrate this event. Dare I say, the best event, the best time of the year. That's what I think about it, at least. But we're going to celebrate the NFL draft right. We're going to do our own 2024 NFL mock draft. So this will include our campers, the players we've talked a lot about, but it will also include those positions, Colin, that do not factor into fantasy. So,
oh, they factor into fantasy.
Well, I mean, I'm talking like directly scoring points.
Or as soon as PFF drops the offensive lineman league, I'm getting in one.
It exists. Oh. I don't want to plug it because they're not paying me, but it exists. Google it.
Okay.
But I'm not that sick yet. I'm not doing the offensive line PFF league. But, yeah, we're going to celebrate. We're going to do an NFL mock draft here. This is the last time that we will talk before these players have teams. That's what's really exciting about this. And we're going to get to match up some of our guys in this mock draft. That's why this is so exciting this year, is because a lot of our guys are coming in near the top of this draft. So it's up to us to figure out where they are going to go. So let's get started. Let's not waste any time because we have 32, maybe 33 picks to get through. But number one, it needs no deliberation. This is a war room style thing. We are not alternating. We will be talking as if we are on the clock together. It is also a predictive mock. We are predicting what is going to happen on Thursday night. And in both of those cases, Colin, this is an easy one.
It is.
It's Caleb Williams.
Yeah. You're not going to get any argument from me. No pushback. The war room is aligned. Caleb's here. We're taking him. It's a generational guy. We've built this team to take on a quarterback. And the guy has, like, come out and started doing, you know, podcast episodes, just talking openly about how he's going to be a Bear. He's, like, also a psychopath in, like, the right way, the way you want an athlete to be. Yeah, give me Caleb Williams. Don't really got to give a second thought about it.
Yeah, it's been about as locked in as it can possibly be for like a month now, I think. I mean, if it wasn't already before that, this is the player that we guaranteed last summer when we started the 2024 cycle. We guaranteed that he would be the NFL 101, and here we are the week of the draft. Caleb Williams will be a Bear.
Fulfilling the prophecy.
Fulfilling the prophecies, the chosen one to bring balance back to Chicago. Yep, there it is. Right. Now it gets interesting, though, because
the rest of the draft now is wide open. Yeah.
It's not getting any easier from there. And Washington, the Commanders. I have no idea.
Yeah, I also have no idea. I was going to look at what the draft props are saying these days, and they are like almost even on between Drake May and Jane Daniels. So what the hell do the Commanders do? What should they do? What do you think here?
Well, so that's the problem, is I think it should be Drake May. And I've said for a few weeks now that I feel like the Jaden Daniels conversation has just grown so loud that it's almost weird. that May is almost a forgotten name in the number two spot at this point, but I don't know, man. It's still, we're 3 days out. The chatter is still saying Jaden Daniels. So this would be like an all-time like swerve of everybody that has been told for weeks and weeks that Daniels is most likely the pick. It hasn't been like a guarantee, but it's been very much like this is probably what's going to happen. It would be quite a shock at this point if May was the pick, but I still believe that that is a real possibility and one that might just happen on draft day. I can't wrap my mind around why Washington would go Daniels over May. So I don't know if I'm blinding myself and just not listening to the smarter folks that are telling me what it is, but I kind of think it's May.
I think it's May too. 3 days ago, they were even odds to be drafted number two. It was a big swing, and it was like, oh, all right, now Drake May is right there. And it swung back to Jaden Daniels, like you said. So the media is clearly in on Jaden Daniels. It seems like the front offices and scouting departments are kind of split on whether it's going to be Daniels or May. But this war room is aligned that it's going to be Drake May.
I'm ready to do it, man. Let's right. lock it in. Let's Drake May, number two. This is a predictive mock, so this is what we think is going to happen. We will get to the pick is in, number two overall, and they have to tell me Jaden Daniels before I believe it because
exactly
the talent is it's just too wide in my opinion.
My question is like, why do you smokescreen this pick?
Well, so this is something that has been interesting about how this is being reported is I don't know if it's smokescreen rather than I think Washington has been deliberating this pick for weeks and weeks up until now. We have this top golf, whatever happened where they have a combo visit with everybody. Like, I really think that the situation at two has been fluid for a while, for the weeks leading up to the actual pick being made. The media has just been so in on Daniels, and, you know, one comment leads to, you know, it's signaling Daniels, and then Brian Kelly says a comment, and now that means it's Daniels. Like, I wonder how much of it is just, you know, I'm going to report something that I heard, but it's not necessarily like somebody in the building saying, yeah, we're going to take Daniels.
Like, it feels a little bit similar to the 49ers and like the Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance. Like, what are they going to do? And nobody knew until the pick was in, yep. You know, and they didn't. It came out later that they didn't know what they like, who they wanted until draft day. And I think this is a similar situation.
Yeah, I know. It's I was recently listening to somebody and it's like, I think this narrative of like the NFL has it all put together before the end of, you know, the college football season. Like, that's not real.
Yeah.
Like those are humans too, man. Yep. They're humans that are making, you know, very the biggest busy decision. People too. Yeah. Very busy people that are about to make, you know, a new GM making the biggest decision of his career already in picking a quarterback at number two. I don't think that decision just comes and we sit for 4 months and bang, you know, there it is.
Like, yeah, I think Ben Solak mentioned
it's probably who it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, he was talking about how they wanted to do Hard Knocks before the draft and then have it come out after the draft, which would be sick. But he's like, I think it would be a lot more boring than you think it would be because teams don't know what they're doing until they're like, all right, sure, let's lock it in, I guess. And they have to.
Yeah. All right. So Drake May, number two. Number three, I still think they take a quarterback.
Yep.
I don't think they trade, and I think they take a quarterback. What do you think?
I agree. I think that this is a new coaching staff. This is a new front office. They need to kind of make their mark on things. I think getting a quarterback is the only thing that they can do. I would understand if they traded back because there's a lot of holes on this roster, and a lot of teams need a quarterback in the NFL, and there's going to be some teams that love, you know, Jaden Daniels or, you know, J.J. McCarthy that are going to be calling Elliott Wolf's phone. But I think if you're in this situation, you just got to get your guy.
And for us, Jaden Daniels, number three?
I think Jaden Daniels is going to be number three. Yeah. And if this is how the chips fall, I think it's going to go these three guys, one, two, three, one way or another.
Yep. I'm in for that. So let's go Daniels here at number three. So quarterback, Arizona.
Yep.
Not trading the pick. Like I'm, this is one of the draft season narratives that I just feel like doesn't make any sense. And I think as we've approached the draft, it's gotten more and more dispelled. Like, they don't want to trade the pick. They want to take Marvin Harrison Jr.
I think that it's pretty obvious. Like, you get the generational wide receiver talent in the room. You have the probably the number one player on your board. Maybe Caleb Williams is the number one player on your board, regardless of position. But this is a guy that could be number one on your board and fits a position in need for you. So I don't see why not. I remember seeing a quote. They're like, it's going to take way more than it normally would to get us to trade this pick.
Yep. So, and for our guys, we'll break it down. We'll break down the spot. But I feel like this one, there's not really any analysis necessary. This is the spot we've been waiting for months. So let's, you know, we're this close and it seems like the stars are aligning that Marvin goes to Arizona as, you know, Kyler's number one and a slam dunk number one fantasy dynasty rookie pick. So,
yep. This one's easy.
Number five.
This one's not easy.
This is not easy. And I think this is the trade spot. What do you think about that?
I think this is the trade spot because you have your run of quarterbacks, one, two, three. Your first wide receiver goes off the board. You're getting calls if you're Monty Osenfort, you know, in Arizona, and you're like, I'm staying here. I'm taking Marvin, and now you're getting calls in Los Angeles about this pick. Who do you think is calling? Because the obvious answer is Minnesota because they've been jockeying themselves to put them in position to get this. You know, up into this range to get their quarterback of the future.
And I think ultimately that's who it is. I think they try as high as three potentially to get into this. I think this is where the phone rings and we get a, you know, let's make a deal. So for me, the deal looks like 11, 23 and a future two. Does that seem about right to you?
Yeah, it would have to be a 2026 two.
They don't have a two in 2025.
They don't have a two in 2025. So that's the only complication. Because future I think they use their
is that
20,
too light. You think
a right? That's the question. Is like how? I mean, the Chargers aren't going to move off of this for less than they think it's worth.
Right.
And you know they move that two to get number 23. They obviously have a plan, and I don't know if they're looking to, like, overpay, but, like...
See, the leg up here, and it's becoming, like, a afterthought because Minnesota has this other pick. Like, Minnesota has the leg up of having a first locked and loaded ready to go. Yep. So, like, any other team that's trying to get up, it's, like, their first, but then a future first and some other stuff. Minnesota's like, hey... You get two firsts right here, right now, and we can give you a little bit more on top. So I wonder if...
I think the future, like 2025 third is probably fine.
Yeah.
Because okay. I think you're, as the Chargers, you look at this team and you're like, okay, they're probably going to finish last in their division. Like they're not going to be a great team. That third probably is a little higher than and most thirds will be. Like, I'd rather have the second, but third gets it done.
I think they're happy with the deal, and I don't really see a way another team pays more unless they're willing to just ship three firsts. And I don't see that happening at this point. So, all right. Trade is official. Minnesota moves up to the number five pick. And then obviously, Colin, this is for their quarterback of the future. I mean, I wouldn't hate it, but no, that's even a little rich for me. But it's also a little rich for JJ McCarthy. However, we know how this works. And honestly, it's hard to find a better situation for a quarterback like McCarthy. I have more faith in McCarthy in Minnesota than I would have had in with McCarthy going to any of these other, like the Giants, the Patriots, like any of those teams. This one feels the best for the player and the team.
I agree. I think McCarthy needs some support and probably needs some time behind Sam Darnold as a backup to, you know, adjust to not having the best team in the league, not having, you know, the best coaching in the sport, and, you know, whatever other advantages he had at Michigan. Great O-line, you know, solid receivers, incredible run game. Like, J.J. McCarthy did not – he's a good player, but he had a lot of help. And so give me some time. Work a little bit on the mechanics. Work on throwing to the left side of the field, and we'll figure it out. You can be the franchise quarterback eventually, and I think this is the spot to do it. You get to throw Jay Jettas, Jordan Addison, Hawkinson, hand it off to Aaron Jones. It's a good situation.
I mean, these NFC North spots, man. I mean, Chicago with their receivers, and then Minnesota. I mean, like, these quarterbacks are really being set up for success. So. Yep. All right, so four quarterbacks in the first five picks. Number six, the New York Giants. What is your first reaction when you see this?
My first reaction is I'm pretty happy that wide receiver two is sitting here for me, because it wasn't a guarantee that four quarterbacks would go off the board in the top five. And obviously you're looking at Marvin is going to go in the top five. I think it's not the best kept secret. So you're sitting here at six and you're like, man, I get to choose between Malik Nabers and Romo Odunze. Like, I feel pretty good about that. What do you think?
I agree with you. And that's what I think we do here. So the question now becomes, which receiver is number two on their board?
Great question. I think the receiver that makes more sense for the roster is currently constructed is Romo Odunze. Now, I think Malik Nabers might have a higher ceiling, but I think Odunze has a higher floor. So I think if you're looking to make a pick that is, you know, that makes a lot of sense for your team and is pretty safe, I think you go with Odunze.
So the report I saw this morning from Giants beat personnel is that the team would be thrilled if Malik Nabers was available at number six. I agree with you. And this was our perfect match for Odunze, was New York. He's got the personality that fits the market. He's got the skills that the team needs. He is the player that this offense has needed since Odell Beckham Jr. left. But Malik Nabers could just be the same thing. And he might just be the second coming of a player that they know very well, a former LSU receiver, Odell Beckham himself. So, I don't know. You could convince me either way here. I want you to make this pick.
Jeez, what a cop-out. Well, you know my thoughts about it, but since this is predictive and there is word on the street, you know, from the guys with their ears on the ground, in New York. He's my wide receiver too. So he's higher on my board. So let's go Malik Nabers.
All right. I'm in. Nabers, number six. Fantasy wise, I don't know. We're going to be talking about when Rome lands.
It
might get a little weird. I don't know. I'm just saying. But,
how would you feel about Malik Nabers in New York?
I mean, it's fine. I don't want to overreact because it's like
overreact to a mock draft that we're creating. Right.
But I'm also bracing myself for this like very real possibility that like Marvin goes to an awesome spot. Odunze is going to land here coming up in probably a pretty good spot. And then you have New York, which just feels like such a wild card where it's like, can Nabers elevate that offense, or does the offense and specifically the quarterback prohibit him from a fantasy perspective? Mm-hmm. So that's always the question. It's the chicken or the egg. Like it's a hard question to answer, and it matters player to player basis. But I definitely would not be more excited about Malik Nabers than I am right now if he was a New York Giant.
Good answer.
All right, this one, number seven, the Tennessee Titans. This feels so easy, and it the puzzle piece fits almost too well, but I cannot figure out a scenario in which Joe Alt is not available for them at seven and that they do not take him.
Yeah, if Joe Alt doesn't somehow go in the top six, you know, if someone's like, we love Joe Alt, we think he's a franchise-changing left tackle, we're going to trade up to go get him. If that doesn't happen, which I don't expect would happen, he's going number seven. Like, if we could sports bet in Wisconsin, I would put money on Caleb Williams going one. I wouldn't get much back. I would put money on Marvin Harrison going four. I wouldn't get much back. But I'd parlay both of those with Joe Alt going number seven, and maybe get a little bit of cheddar on the side. Because those all feel like written in stone, because they're all just such good matches. And so we know that one of those three things is not going to happen.
All right. Easiest pick maybe outside of number one so far. So number eight, Atlanta. I've thought a lot about this pick
Me
today.
Too.
And especially in the wake of the news that came out this morning regarding the Kirk Cousins tampering situation, in which they are expected to lose picks, multiple. So I kind of feel like the trade down possibility got even more enticing after that news, because I was already thinking this might be a good team to trade down, get a little bit of value, still end up, because we're talking pass rusher, we're talking corner, like those positions are going to be available in a few picks from now. So recoup some assets that you might be losing and move down the board. For me, the team that leaps out at me is Jacksonville.
Yes. So the Falcons for me, until this tampering thing came to light, was the first defensive player off the board this entire time. And it's like, they're going to take, you know, Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, Laiatu Latu, Terrion Arnold. Doesn't matter. They need defensive players, period. And now this comes out and it's like, Kirk Cousins was, talking to the Falcons before the legal tampering window. Kyle Pitts was talking to Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins was recruiting Darnell Mooney. And it was like it's like tampering within tampering within tampering. And so it's looking like we need to get some assets. And there's a guy on the board worth trading up for, a blue chip talent. That is, you know, maybe you expected him to go at number six with Odunze, and we're going to go get him because we lost Calvin Ridley in free agency. We didn't expect to do that. We were running out there with Christian Kirk and Gabe Davis and Zay Jones and Evan Engram. We need a guy.
They need a guy. They need to make a statement because, honestly, last season I feel like lost them a bit of the traction that they had been gaining. Like, the team was supposed to be a legitimate AFC contender last year, and it kind of fell apart a little bit. This is the kind of move that you make to not only hopefully solve your offensive issues, but also reinstill some confidence in within the fan base that, like, we're keeping our pedal to the metal here. Like, we got done taking Trevon Walker 2 years ago, or whatever it was now, at number one. That didn't inspire anybody. Well, now let's go inspire some folks and trade up for Romo Dunze. I think this one is pretty simple. I think 17, 48, maybe something later. Trade value chart, 17 and 48 is very close. If Atlanta wants to play hardball, if there's other teams trying to jump the Bears for Odunze, maybe they sneak another later pick out of this, but the meat of this deal is the first and the second.
Yeah.
And I think if you're Atlanta, you're kind of excited about it. Like, 17 is a little bit further back. You might not get your pick of the defensive class, but you probably still get a good defensive asset there. Plus, you're now adding a second round pick that you might be losing your other one of. So,
see, the thing is with this, the tampering thing, is that the precedent was set with the Dolphins. And they lost their first. So that's something to keep an eye on. Currently, we're not operating with that information. But, yes, 17, it would be insane for them to lose the number eight pick.
This is what's really interesting about this situation is it's happening on draft week.
Right.
Because can the NFL make a decision in 3 days, and then how does Atlanta respond? Like, you wake up Thursday morning and it's like, well, actually, we just lost our first round eighth overall pick.
Yeah, like, and number eight is void. Like, sorry.
So,
and who knows? But yeah, I think 17-48, maybe even a 2025, like, later round pick, like, gets this done. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. So, because they could be losing picks in next year's draft too. Like, they could say, hey, like, we're going to take your first next year because, like, it's kind of fucked up to do this tomorrow. But
yeah,
it is Roger Goodell, and he has no heart. He will do what's best for the league. So who knows?
All right. So Jags,
yep,
they're moving up.
They're moving up.
All right. And they are taking Romo Dunze.
They sure are, which is a great landing spot, and we should all feel fantastic about it. And now he is the number two wide receiver over Malik Neighbors.
I was going to ask you. I mean, I'm serious.
If Neighbors goes to the Giants, like, it's pretty close for me between those two guys. If Romo Dunze is catching passes from Trevor Lawrence and Malik Neighbors is catching passes from Dan Jones, who's going to be throwing like 17 passes a game coming off an ACL injury, yeah, like, I feel okay about that.
Scares me.
It scares me
how much I feel like the landing spots could decide wide receiver two in this class.
I mean, they're all so good. That's the thing. Yeah. Like, it's so close in a good way.
Yep. Yeah, hard to go wrong.
Yep.
But people on the clock, dynasty time, 102.
It's going to be scary. Could
be a decision to make.
All
right, so number nine, this has been the fall for the wide receivers. It's been a very common spot in this instance, and I feel like this is another reason why you explore this trade possibility. Team jumping Chicago for the last of the three wide receivers. So in this position, what are you thinking for the Bears?
I'm thinking defense here.
Same.
There's no defense has gone off the board. I'm thinking an edge player because, you know, you've drafted secondary well. You have a nice secondary. But it's really like Montez Sweat is a good player on the edge. But to get a piece across from him that's, you know, the number one guy in this class at the number nine pick after getting your cornerstone on offense with Caleb Williams, it would feel pretty good.
Let me float something out there.
All right.
What do you think about a trade?
Oh, boy. See, this is the spot that I expected to have a team move up to take Romo Dunze because Atlanta would have picked a defense player at eight. So Kirk Cousins fucked this whole thing up.
It puts a big wrinkle into it. And yeah, in this instance, I'm with you. I think with Odunze gone, the attention turns to defense. But do we need to spend the capital here on the first defensive player, or do we listen to offers for a team that might want to jump the Jets for another premier pass-catching talent in this class? With the three wide receivers going in the first eight picks, suddenly Bowers is now the last man standing if you're looking for a real offensive X factor in this class.
Before you go, can I say some names to you and you tell me how you feel about them, okay?
Of course.
All right. DeMarcus Walker. Dominique Robinson. Khalid Kareem.
But wait, that's not a real name.
Jacob Martin. Daniel Hardy.
You're doing it.
I'm doing it. I'm just saying, war room. Montez Sweat is the only edge player on this team worth anything. I mean, the other guys, they're nice, you know, like DeMarcus Walker and Dominique Robinson, fine depth pieces. But we need a guy that's going to bookend the D-line.
Who is in the interior?
We have Gervin Dexter, good player. And then it's Andrew Billings, Zach Pickens, not good players. We can think about it.
There's a lot of buzz about Byron Murphy.
Yeah.
And I think this something that you have been very in touch with for several years is the prominence of the interior pass rusher in today's NFL. And I think in this class, there's two of them.
Right.
And that is, I mean, and you could say the same thing about pass rushers. Okay, there's three. Like, there's going to be a premium on these guys.
So you're saying we still trade down and we can still get a guy?
Well, yes, but I'm also saying if we stick and pick, is Byron Murphy the first defensive player that's drafted in this class?
Does that
feel like a real possibility?
I've heard top 10 buzz for Byron Murphy. I don't know if this is the situation where it happens.
All right.
I think at the end of the day, like, NFL teams still value edge over interior D-line. But we are moving, you know, the formation of NFL teams are going to ebb and flow with how football is played. And we've been in a passing league for so long. Then you spend a bunch of money on tackles because edge rushers are freak athletes. You spend a bunch of money on edge rushers. And then the inside softens up. So then you got to strengthen that because people are going to start running the ball at the middle more. And so then you got to spend money on guards and defensive interior. And we're at that point in the game where we have our defensive interior guys. And you got guys like Byron Murphy and Johnny Newton, like you said, who would be quite good on the interior to pair up with Montez Sweat because it still is pairing them up. But right now we have five guys that we could choose from, I feel like. So we could trade down.
Let me pitch my trade deal.
Okay.
You're the Bears right now and I am the team calling you. Tell me if this is a deal you would want to take. It's the Bengals.
Hello.
Hey, it's the Bengals GM.
Hey, you've been in office for like 20 years. That's crazy. How do you keep a job that long? Is it just because you're in a conservative franchise?
No, I'm really good at what I do. And here's a reason why I want to make a trade right now. I'm going to give you 18 and my second round pick, 49, plus a third round pick next year. That's how bad I want to get up. I want to give you all that, and I want to get up to number 9. What do you think?
Yeah, let's call it in the league office.
Pleasure doing business.
All right, have a wonderful day, guy.
So in this scenario, it is the Bengals getting aggressive. They see a potential AFC contender in the Jags get aggressive and get a pass-catching weapon. They see the Jets sitting at 10, a potential, you know, we don't know, but a you know, potentially formidable AFC opponent this year. T. Higgins is on a tag and unhappy about it. Let's get some insurance into this room. And it comes in the form of a position of need, but a player that's going to play a lot more than just traditional tight end in this offense. So,
all right, I'm Ryan Poles still, right?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to call on the Jets. Okay. All right? I'm going to ring in. Hey, can you pick up your phone? Jesus, thank you.
Oh, hello. Yeah, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Joe Douglas here.
I want to move back one pick. Do you want Brock Bowers? I'm making a power play as Ryan Poles here. The Bengals just called me. They're moving up to pick 9. Unless you give me a deal.
I want to, Ryan, but we don't have the assets.
Boom, hung up. All right, let's do this. Call back the Bengals. All right, let's send it into Roger.
So, yeah, what do you think about this? Do you think this is a realistic possibility on draft night?
I think it's realistic, but I worry that teams don't value the tight end position enough to like put all of these assets into it. That being said, when you're a team that is competing to win championships and you're trying to build a team around Joe Burrow and there's a weapon like this on the board that you have an opportunity to go get, I like it. You know,
I keep coming back to this idea that if you think about Bowers as a slot wide receiver, you can stomach this a little bit easier. Like, think of him as the fourth wide receiver in this class. And right. Then it's like suddenly like, okay, yeah, we gave up a first and a second. Like, it's not insignificant, but like we just potentially unlocked something in an offense that's already, you know, known for its prowess. And mm-hmm. like T. Higgins now becomes there's flexibility. You know, if Bowers is the player we think he is, then maybe T. Higgins, like, that contract doesn't need to happen or something. I don't know. It's an insurance policy for them. But I don't want to make this trade if you don't think it's going to happen, because this is supposed to be a predictive mock.
I don't think that the Bengals are going to trade 3 picks to get Brock Bowers, as much as I would want them to. I don't think that a team's going to do that.
All right. So we talked through the scenario. We talked through a potential idea or an option. But this is realism. This is predictive. So we're going to stay on the clock. Number 9. In that case, edge?
I think we go edge. I think that's the positional value. I think it makes the most sense here for the team.
Dallas Turner?
It's between Turner and Verse because of the medicals with Latu. Because I think Latu is the best player here, but he's oldest and he's got the neck stuff. Verse and Turner, it's a question of floor versus ceiling.
I think we go Turner.
I do too.
I think if you're gonna take the first defensive player, you gotta swing.
I agree. And you have your floor is set with Montez Sweat. I think you have a certain floor already there, and then you get a guy like Turner, and then you got bookends.
Okay, Dallas Turner, number 9, number 10. Okay, we got a little scared. Thought we were getting.
We got
jumped.
The call from Poles, and we're like, "Oh my god! Yeah. Oh no, they're taking our guy."
But is Bowers to the Jets a real thing?
Yeah, I think so. I think that this whole staff is on borrowed time. with the Jets. Everybody's job is on the line right now. And this is the team that needs to, like, they need to succeed or else. And right now they just don't really have the guys to do that, in my opinion. And this whole, I mean, the whole team building philosophy with the Jets was going so well. And then they're like, all right, time to push the chips in. Why? And so now they've pushed the chips in, so they got to capitalize on it. And a position on their offense that is empty right now is tight end, and you have Brock Bowers, who is one of the best tight end prospects ever.
Yeah, they...
I know.
Like, part of me is like, the Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses, those acquisitions, it's like, that's not solving your issue, but it almost feels like that was their way of being like, right, okay, we addressed this, now let's go get our player at 10. So I think I'm with you, and it also fits my narrative that Bowers does not get out of the top 10. Because I still believe that. Just in the same way that I didn't believe Bijan would get out of the top 10, that's what I think about Bowers. I get the positional thing. They're just different. It's a different player.
I agree. I think when you're on the clock, it's scary to see that name and be like, we're not taking him. You know, when you're trying to appease Aaron Rodgers and like set up this team for success, and you can be like, hey, we got you. Like, you're Jamarco Finley. Here you go. Like, sure, why not?
All right. Brock Bowers, number 10 overall. Number 11.
They should take a quarterback is what they should do. But that would be too good. Too smart.
Maybe later.
Yeah. Rodgers would be happy about that.
Yeah. Very notably happy guy when his replacement is drafted.
Yeah.
But number 11. This is the Chargers. We traded back from number 5, and this is exactly why we did it, because there was a run here on receivers. Brock Bowers is in here. Like, yes, all of those players would fit nicely on a team that is devoid at this point of pass-catching talent. However, I am personally buying into this idea that Jim Harbaugh is going to start from the middle, and he's going to go out. So I think tackle is the move here. I think you get your right tackle. You got Rashawn Slater on the left. We get our right tackle here. The question now becomes, which one? Because they're all available other than Joe Alt. So you have your pick of this next, of this tier that we're in here. That's kind of tough.
I don't think it's that tough.
What do you think?
I think it's Fashanu. I think it's between him and J.C. Latham, and I think it's Fashanu.
Well, so...
Okay.
The reason, like, the Fashanu stuff is, like, that the name has just not been in this conversation. Like, within the media. Like, it's... See, I don't know what happened, but something happened where players like Fatanu and Fuanga and Latham have seemingly like vaulted Fashanu after it seemed like this was 1-2 with Alt. So also Fashanu playing on the left side, if we're reading into that, if we want a blue blooded, like tried and true right tackle that brings a little nastiness to fit this Harbaugh narrative, J.C. Latham is the name that pops out, and it is a name that is being given that, like, he's going to go higher than you think he is message from the reporters. So that's not always true, but I think the stars kind of align on this one for me, where I'm thinking Latham here. What do you think about that?
I'm not going to push back too much on that. Like, I can see it. And the thing is, like, all of these guys over under is set at 13.5. Like, they're all, like you said, in that tier. Latham has been gaining steam lately, and I wouldn't be surprised if he goes here. You get a guy that, you know, Alabama guy, somebody that has been playing in a pro style system that I'm all for it. I'm not gonna argue tackles just, here.
Just feels like a Harbaugh pick.
It feels like
I'm trying
Harbaugh
to get inside
pick.
The mind.
Right like now. Harbaugh's not gonna be like, give me Amarius Mims. You know, right. We're not doing that. We're gonna go get the guy that is ready to play day one.
All right. First pick maybe that we're going out on a limb. And you got to do that in mock drafts because it never quite goes the way that you think it's going to go. So
I think Olu at 11. Should be at 11. I'll just put that out there.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened. Like, I don't know the narrative switched.
I think it's called overthinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he was potentially going to be in the class last year as like a top 10 player.
And his name has been in the same breath as Joe Alt this entire time, and now it's just not, which is odd.
All right. Well, there's going to be a lot more. There's going to be a lot more tackles to spots to discuss here. Denver, number 12, the Broncos. This one is truly mystifying to me. Like I don't know what to believe.
What do you want me to say? Yeah.
I want you to tell me who to pick.
All right. I think that they're going to go edge here. That's what I know we got Sean Payton and like he's the offensive guru genius. Hey, how about you do it with the guys you got? You're not getting a quarterback. We didn't make our trade up. The wide receivers went off the board. Brock Bowers went off the board. We're either going offensive line, which they could use, but I think they need defense more because right now it's like Zach Allen, Baron Browning, Nick Benito, who are like okay players, but you don't have a guy and you can get like a tier one edge here or a interior defense alignment, a tier one. So you can get a tier one defender here. Or you can pair up like Terrion Arnold across from Pat Surtain.
I was just about to say, what do you think about corner?
I like corner here because who's there? Like Levi Wallace? Yeah, okay. He's like 40. So yeah. We could probably do that.
Because, so for me.
It's a little bit sexier too.
Yeah, I feel like corner is a premium in this because there's really two guys right now that are being talked about. Maybe three, depending on who you talk to, but. Two guys, no doubt, in the top tier of this class with Mitchell and Arnold. So I think if you need a corner, it's a little bit of a premium to get one here. I like Latu in this spot. I think he fits the defense better than Jared Verse does. But I think the risk of Latu versus just taking one of the corners is where I get swung to be, let's just take the corner.
Yeah, you're playing in a division with Pat Mahomes and Justin Herbert. And you're like, hey, man, if we could, they have no wide receivers. We just need to buy our guys time to go get the quarterback. And if you have Pat Surtain and Terrion Arnold on either side, like press man against Hollywood Brown and. Or Quentin Johnson and Josh Palmer. Like, I think you can feel pretty good.
All right. Terrion Arnold.
Also, number three is available for the Broncos. So, number two and number three with Pat Surtain and Terrion Arnold. That's kind of sick. Both right. Alabama guys.
You sold me.
Have you seen – what do you think of the Broncos' new jerseys?
Hate them.
I think they're fine.
First thing I thought
I don't like
of,
the numbers.
First thing I thought of, it's a UTSA clone. And then I saw Josh Norris say the same thing. I was like, this is just the Roadrunners. This or the Miners. No, Roadrunners. Road I runners. Was right the first time. Like, it was identical. It looked like a college jersey.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah. I thought they're fine. I don't think they're good. I don't think they're bad. I thought the numbers were bad. Like, the Broncos' whole jersey identity came from their, like, cool numbers with, like, you know, the rounded bottoms and the sharp tops, and then they lost those. And it's like, all right, we're modernizing all jerseys. The Lions did it right. The Broncos didn't do it right. you know.
Yeah. I do like the Lions.
I do too.
It's nice.
Their black and blues are a little too Carolina for me, but
yeah, I can see that. All right. This is not the uniform draft, but it could be.
I would do one of those drafts. That one's going to be on the Patreon.
Yeah, but yeah, right. No, okay. So number 12, Terrion Arnold, CB1 off the board to Denver. Las Vegas, number 13. Man, oh man, is this a weird one?
It is a weird one.
You have the Michael Penix chatter, which in my eyes would equal a trade down. Like, we would want to trade down from 13 in order to make that happen. We're not going to do it here. Or we can just stay here. We can worry about Penix later. And we can make this pick because, I mean, a lot of the players available right now fit what we need. So what do you think? Would you explore a trade down here?
I would. If people are calling, I'm answering the phone. Like, I don't know if I'm seeking out a trade down because there's a lot of good players on the board, especially on the defensive side of the ball. That being said, when you talk about investment in, you know, D-line, you have Max Crosby, you drafted Tyree Wilson highly, you just signed Christian Wilkins to a massive contract. So, like, I don't know if you're, like, chomping at the bit to, like, go get one of these top guys. Like, it wouldn't hurt, obviously. But they're not necessarily the highest on your priority list if you're drafting for need. If you're going for BPA, like, go get an edge player is how I feel.
All right. I'm going to throw you my wildest trade of the draft.
All right.
The wildest one I could come up with. So, Byron Murphy is still on the board.
Yep.
And I'm thinking of a team that has shown a willingness to move around the board before and one that desperately needs interior help on the defensive line.
Ooh,
and we got picks to play with. We got picks to play with. So
it's Cardinals, right?
It's the Cardinals.
Yeah.
27 and 35 for 13 and a later pick.
As long as the pick is much later, I'm in. Because I'm in Penix range. And then I can get Penix at 27, potentially, maybe at 35, depending on how we're feeling in the room, and then, you know, figure out our other pick where we can go ahead and, you know, draft whatever else we need because we are not, you know, don't have a super talented team in Las Vegas. I almost said in Oakland.
R.I.P.
Yeah, R.I.P.
So the trade value chart for this trade, Arizona 27 is 680 and 35 is 550 for a total of 1230. 13 overall is 1150. Yeah. So it's technically a slight overpay, which might be what it takes to move this far down the board.
Yeah, I was gonna say you're going pretty far. You're going down 14 picks.
But we don't need to sweat out the details of if they're getting like a sixth back or something.
Yeah,
like,
you're getting 229. Minnesota's like, who cares?
If I'm Arizona, like, I already got Marvin. I have 2 third-round picks. I'm going to make a big time splash and get up this board, fill a massive position of need with potentially the best defensive player in the class, if you're listening to some people. So this is the kind of move that I think it's in the cards and it fits exactly what Vegas wants to do. They want to move back to try to get their quarterback. And then we can still add another piece, right at the top of the second round as well. So
I agree. Let's get Byron Murphy in Arizona.
Let's make a weird trade here. Man, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I kind of have faith in the Jonathan Gannon era.
I do too. I think he's a good coach. I just think he's a goofball.
Shocking that
it's like if Nate Hackett was good at coaching.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Arizona moves up.
Big
huge
trade.
Huge bomb drop. Schefter, Byron Murphy the second, 13th overall. The Saints.
People are like, I thought this was a fantasy football podcast. We're taking J.C. Latham, Terrion Arnold, and Byron Murphy three picks in a row, and we spent like 25 minutes on it.
Look out for Byron Murphy in your
that's
IDP
right, in your
drafts.
IDP,
I don't
right?
know. I got to watch a little more film. But
hey, you can get busy. DIs are the value of all IDP leagues.
There it is.
Find them on your free agent list.
14th. The Saints, this is another weird team with a, I mean, what do you think their biggest need is? Tackle?
I don't know. A lot of things. That team stinks. I think tackle is fine.
The tackles are falling in this class.
And the reason that 15.5 is the over-under for the tackles in this class is because of, you know, this little, you know, Saints are right here and, you know, teams that are coming up in the near future.
All right. I'm in to dip back into this tackle class. I kind of like Fashanu here.
All right.
I don't have to twist you.
Yeah.
Like I think like Fuanga and Fatanu are, that's a tongue twister. Say that one two times fast.
Fuaga and Fatanu.
But I think they've sort of like overtaken him on like your run of the mill, like expert board. But like, I don't know, man, a left tackle that feels pretty solid from day one. Like
you lost Teron Armstead and you haven't replaced him. And this is your replacement.
Yeah, who's the guy they drafted a couple of years ago? That's
Trevor Penning.
Yeah. Dear God, yeah. Let's get a real tackle.
Him and Andre Dillard, abject disasters of high tackle picks.
Yeah, wow.
Dillard, Titans, not Saints, but still bad.
Yes.
All right. Do you think there's a like 70-year-old GM that sees like Fatanu, Fuaga, and Fashanu, and is like, I'm out. I'm going to get him confused. I'm not taking the tackle.
Yeah, I'd rather take Graham Barton.
Yep. That's why J.C. Latham is flying up boards.
Yeah.
Because you can pronounce that, and you know the difference between him and the other guys.
I love racism in positions of power.
I'm just saying the names are hard. That's it.
It's rooted. We could.
It's systemic. I get it.
Yep. Let's have a deep conversation in the middle of our first round here. But or let's move on to number 15, Indianapolis. This one I think is a cliche, and it's also one that I'm going to continue to run with. It is the Quinion Mitchell to Indianapolis connection, a team that desperately needs a cornerback. The first one's already gone. It makes it even easier in this draft.
All right. Hold on.
Yep.
Let me just throw something out there.
Okay.
What about Brian Thomas Jr.?
Okay.
All right.
I don't think the Colts would do this.
Why?
Because why would you? Like, you have Michael Pittman. That's a guy that you paid. That's your guy.
Sure.
You just took a player in the third round and Josh Downs that looked pretty damn good as slot player. We can get by with...
Right. All right. We can get by with Alec Pierce.
Or what I mean, the real answer here is we get something on day two. Like, we don't need to spend 15 to get this. Like, this corner need, like, who are their starting corners right now?
Is Rocky Assin still in town? And Julian Blackman, is that a corner? He's a safety.
Okay, so we got Juju Brents, who was a draft pick from last year.
He's kind of a nickel, isn't he?
Kenny Moore is their nickel. Oh, is their slot.
is a freak.
He's good, but yeah. On the outside, it's like we got Brents, who, you know, Colts yeah. fans can enlighten me if he had a good rookie year and if he's worth, you know, being the cornerback two here, but I don't think he's the cornerback one, and I don't see another name on this roster that could constitute a quarterback one. So I think I don't want to make it seem like because Brian Thomas Jr. in my opinion is worth this pick, absolutely worth this pick, but I just think in this position where corner is now, you know, this is the tier one, like you are in it and you can finish it right now.
How do you okay, so Chris Ballard
yep
says I think they've grown up about his cornerback room.
Okay.
I'm on Colts Twitter right now. I don't know. I just it seems like they're in on Juju. It seems like they like the corner room. Just throwing out the idea because I don't think that we gotta just decide right now. You know.
I got it. I'm back to the phones.
Oh boy.
Tackle run just started up again. Fashanu at 14. We got two really talented guys here. We got Seattle at 16, who could definitely take one of those two. We got to move up, maybe, if we want to get into this run. And I'm thinking of a team like Pittsburgh.
I was just looking at Pittsburgh. I'm thinking what you're thinking.
Like, move up just five spots. Secure.
You get a really good tackle who could be number – he could be the number one tackle on your board.
So the difference between 20 and 15 is 200 points, and the Steelers' third-round pick is 170.
Let's make the trade.
Third and a future late pick or future third or something?
Yeah.
All right. I'm in.
And then we're taking – so do you like Fuaga or Fatanu more? Or does it not matter to you? I think Fuaga has more versatility. Fatanu is more of a
– Fatanu has more versatility.
Yes. See, this is the – see? Here
right.
We
are. It's like,
damn it.
I get it. No, yeah. The is he a guard? Is he a tackle? Right. Can he play all five spots? That's
so
Fatanu's thing.
You get the more of a pure tackle with Fuaga.
I think
more versatility with Fatanu.
I think Fuaga fits more of what the Steelers need right now. We got Broderick Jones last year. Let's get the right side locked up. Boom.
All right. Boom.
Okay.
And then our last of the tackle run.
Yep. So we'll go.
Staying in Washington.
Ryan Grubb, the OC.
It's perfect.
Familiar face comes in, moves across town.
Boom.
All right. So back-to-back tackles there. That was really quick. That was the Seahawks 16, Troy Fatanu. And now Atlanta. Oh,
gosh. This trade worked out for them.
That's what I'm saying, man. This is a. I love this trade for Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yep. I really do. So in this situation, though, it almost becomes who?
Yeah.
Because
do you
like,
take Latu or Verse?
Right. And I'm even like, you could talk me into Quinion Mitchell as well.
You could talk me into Johnny Newton.
Same. I mean, like there is a plethora of defensive options available and all of which fit a need for Atlanta. So I go
edge here if I'm Atlanta.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about it at 8. And now these guys fall in your lap. I think you go I don't know if Latu's fallen, but I think you go Verse here. And you get a safer player, high athletic upside. You know, he's got a bag. He sets a higher floor for your defense and you need that.
Yep. That's a good fit. I'm in. Jared Verse, 17. Bengals, 18. We did not trade up for Brock Bowers. So now we sit here and we take. I think for me, there's two names that are jumping out at me.
Okay.
Latu or Johnny Newton.
I like Johnny Newton a lot in this spot. Because you have your Trey Hendrickson, Sam Hubbard on the outside, and then you fill inside with Johnny. And then you still have Sheldon Rankins and BJ Hill as, like, your big run stuff guys. And Johnny is, like, your, you know, he can be a pass rush guy, third down guy, or he can be on early downs. Like, I kind of like that a lot.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's a spot that I think makes a ton of sense for Newton. And with how the board fell,
it's perfect. All right,
I'm going to bring up one. I'm going to bring this up just because I feel like I have to.
Brian Thomas Jr. I know. I was thinking about it. I was thinking that this could be you replace T 1 year early, you know, and then you let him walk. You have your receiver across from Chase. I don't think you're thinking that far ahead if you're the Bengals. I think you have a championship window. You're trying to win. You take whoever your number one player on the board is. And I think that it's going to be – and I think you need some defensive help.
It would be different if you could play T or Brian in the slot. But I just – that's not something that's – like, Brian Thomas Jr. played in the slot a little bit at LSU, but it's like –
you could play Jamar Chase in the slot.
Well, yeah. But all right, Johnny Newton. Let's do it.
T. Higgins, X wide receiver. Brian Thomas, Z. I have Jamar Chase just running around like I'm on Ross St. Brown.
I mean, they could figure it out. It's a good room.
All right, Rams. They need everything.
Yeah,
on defense essentially, and tackles, and they need everything. Pretty much, I think, except wide receiver.
I was looking at the roster earlier today. Mitchell on the board at this point feels like big-time value. You could talk me into Latu, absolutely.
Yep.
But I think Mitchell makes the most sense right now.
I agree. I think you need corners more than anything on this team. I mean, pass rush is sorely needed, but I think corner is needed more.
All right.
And a guy that is in conversation for corner one is available at 19. You just kind of got to pull the trigger.
All right. So now the Colts moved down to 20. If they wanted Mitchell, they just got sniped. But oh man, you're going to make me do it, aren't you?
I'm not going to make you do anything, well, but I think you should.
It's just he really is just a better, like, a much improved version of what Alec Pierce.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, is
like think about AR deep shots to Brian Thomas Jr. and just like close your eyes, imagine that for a minute, and tell me that isn't what you want.
I'm in.
Sometimes you just got to draft
with your
heart.
I'm in. I want it. I honestly haven't even really thought about it critically until right now. And now I'm like, this is perfect. I mean, the room fits together perfectly.
That's what I'm saying. It like you have Alec Pierce as like a depth piece as your wide receiver four that's coming in on your spread sets. He's coming in relief. You know, maybe you need some bigger guys. You sub down zone. I don't know. I like it.
From a fantasy perspective, what do you think about this fit?
I mean, I think it's good for Brian Thomas. I think it hurts, you know, everybody else a little bit because now there's more mouths to feed. But I think it's solid for Brian Thomas to go to a place. The problem is there's just going to be a lack of volume.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough sell. But we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
That's right.
The Dolphins. I feel like when is the last time the Dolphins picked in the first round? Because it feels like it's been a long time.
I couldn't tell you who their last first round pick was.
Yeah.
I know that they, like I said, vacated it with the Tom Brady tampering last year.
Yeah. Like I don't know why. It's just, maybe it's only been 2 years. It just feels like an eternity. But
was it Tua? Was that their last one?
Might have been. Honestly, I don't know. It just feels this is not a team that I. And same thing with the Rams. Like,
that's Jaylen Waddle.
I never see these teams in the first round. The Rams, we just picked for them. Now we're picking for Miami. I think so. This is one of my favorite picks that I've been thinking about, but it's becoming complicated. So I love the Graham Barton fit here. As an athletic inside presence, you just lost some talent on the inside. This is a team that needs athletes inside to run this scheme. Barton fits the bill. Amarius Mims is still on the board, though, and we also need a tackle.
Yeah, I think if I'm in the Dolphins war room, I'm like, man, Amarius Mims, this is a fun player that can protect Tua. And that's what we need because he needs all the help he can get. Like, the pressure up the middle stuff, it's not great, but you need the guys on the outside. Tua can navigate a muddy pocket, but he, you know, if you're getting rushed from the edge, he can't really get out of the pocket as much.
Are they okay with the development that's necessary here? Like, is this a team that is, like, willing to do that?
I think so. I mean, when you have a guy with the athletic profile that Mims has and the movement skills that Mims has, I think you can, at pick 21, I think you can make that move.
All right. I'm in. Rare breed.
Yeah.
Let's bring him home. Amarius Mims to Miami. 22, the Eagles. I keep putting Cooper DeJean here.
Yeah. I was just thinking, like, you can take any of the corners here and I'd be happy, like DeJean, Wiggins, McKinstry. DeJean with his versatility, I feel like makes the most sense. So I'm fine with that. Like, they have an all-star 2018 corner room, but it's 2024. So we got to figure something out here.
Yeah, it's been time to address this room for like 2 years now, and I think this is where we can do it. And I like the athleticism. Are they
going to be starting two white guys in their defensive backfield with Reed Blankenship and Cooper DeJean?
Let it happen, that's awesome. Man. It's 2024.
I respect that.
The Chargers. We're back again. We have two firsts now from our trade. So
you know who we're taking.
We are taking...
We got the A.D. Mitchell's right here.
Okay, so, yes, but this is where maybe I'm putting too much emphasis in the Harbaugh effect. Does A.D. Mitchell feel like a Jim Harbaugh player?
No, because I'm like, he doesn't at all.
I'm like, we can just get Roman Wilson in the second round and call it good. And then
are we just gonna bring everybody from Michigan to this team? Because I keep saying it, they're taking Blake Corum. No I think that you're right. Mitchell, since he has well-known attitude stuff, maybe not, but Ladd McConkey.
Man, I saw it. So there was a column today or yesterday, maybe probably today.
Shout out to people still writing columns.
Yeah, a column in the papers. Yep. But it was Albert Breer, and it was like a draft, like week of the draft thing. There was a portion of it about wide receivers that are potentially coming in with injury designations, or maybe it was just players in general, but there was a lot of wide receivers on the list. Ladd McConkey was one of them. Back and knee, back and shoulder. Like, there was two things, and so the thing there was, like, this is an undersized player that's been banged up in college that is getting flagged in the process. And I'm starting to wonder how much of that affects him on draft night. Like, my take of him going in the first has been like, I feel like accelerating. Like, it's almost becoming like, oh yeah, McConkey, like he could be a late first guy. Like, I'm wondering if we're now the equilibrium is settling in and he's just is that second round player.
Hey, when teams have injury concerns, you fall. And that is what's happening to Leatu Latu right now, who does feel like a Jim Harbaugh player.
Yeah, that's actually where I was going to go with this. Do we keep Latu in L.A.? Does the slide stop here?
I think it does. I think Harbaugh is like, why is this guy still on the board? Like, he is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I know Jim Harbaugh's not actually making the draft picks right, here. Right.
Disrespect to Joe Ortiz in his first draft as the
But I think there's going to be a little bit of influence. I think Harbaugh's going to be in his ear a little bit.
Yeah, it's inevitable. So I'm with you. Like, it's not a dire need, obviously, but like you have this, like Khalil Mack is 35. Joey Bosa is a shell of himself.
45.
Yeah.
Like, no.
I think
neither of them
sense.
Are playing a full season, I don't think.
Yeah. No. Let's bring in a potential, you know, game changer. Like, this is one of those medical situations that could just amount to one of the biggest steals of draft night. So, all right, let's go Latu there. The Cowboys, I feel like they've been so unpredictable for a few years that I'm trying to, like, get outside the box on this one.
Yeah. Okay, so a player I forgot to talk about with the Chargers, and this is purely a Michigan connection.
Okay.
And a guy that isn't popular to go in the first round, but I think is, like, an interesting guy and fits a need, is Mike, who I cannot say his last name.
Sanristil.
Thank you. I think he's a really good player that tackles. And, I mean, obviously a Harbaugh player, but, you know, maybe a name to watch.
Slot corner, number one.
If they make this trade and they trade down, they're at 23, and they're like, hey, why not take one of his guys?
I could see it.
We're taking Graham Barton here, right?
That's what I'm thinking as well. I mean, they've been a little bit weird in the draft, and like part of me wants to say A.D. Mitchell here, but I just don't think you can pass on Barton.
Yeah, I agree.
With the need, if it fits the need, it's the range.
It's a Stephen Jones pick right here.
Yep, I'm in.
Okay.
Here we go. The Green Bay Packers. So I had a little fun over the weekend putting together what I believe is the final draft list for the Packers. It is representative of the fact that they always reach a little bit. They always make people unhappy. It can't be a corner in that case, because I feel like most people are on the page that we want a corner in Green Bay. I want to say,
I have a name.
Okay, go for it.
I have a name, and I think he might be too small for the Packers model, but I think, what do you think about Chop Robinson?
He is confirmed within the thresholds for the Packers. This is the pick, if I'm a Packers fan, which I am, that scares me a lot because it feels very realistic.
Yeah.
Based on how they draft, who they like. I mean, he is the embodiment of just pure projection. Yep. Pure athletic projection on the edge.
Hey, I like him more than I like Lucas Van Ness.
Which, yeah, and here we go again. You know, it's like there's corners available, but do we see this happen again? And the only thing that stops me is the fact that they took Van Ness last year. So are you really going to have a premier guy in Gary, a developmental guy in Van Ness, and now we're going to throw another body in there?
And you have depth pieces like Anibari and Carl Brooks and, you know.
So it's like I would not be surprised at all if
that's why I think it's the pick, is because it's like, do we really need this?
It doesn't make any sense. See, my like, this doesn't make a lot of sense, but it fits, is Tyler Guyton, because he's the ultra athletic, traitsy,
Oh, Tyler Guyton. I like Tyler Guyton.
And like the thing here is like they haven't taken offensive line in exactly. the first round for like almost 10 years. But if you're not taking Chop and you're not taking a corner, what's left to take at this spot in the draft? So
Tyler Newbin? No, he doesn't fit the threshold.
I would love it, but yeah, it's and I, it just doesn't seem like Newbin's going round one right now either. So,
well, okay,
all right, let's make the pick here. I think my educated guess is.
That would be the out of left field. Finally take a wide receiver in the first round. It's a Ricky.
My educated guess is Tyler Guyton.
I'll get on board with Tyler Guyton. I have no idea. I think if I had to lean somewhere, it'd be Chop. But I'm fine with Guyton.
All right. The other option is a trade down. But
yeah, which is very possible.
Yeah.
Almost likely.
All right, Guyton at 25. 26, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, another team with a fairly extensive list of needs. I think the board is pretty open here. I want to throw out the name Jackson Powers Johnson.
Okay. I love Jackson Powers Johnson. So if you're going to try to talk me into him, you don't have to.
I feel because like there's,
Jensen's like, gone.
Right. And so it's a natural fit. I want to say like corner is in play here and we still have some guys on the board, but I think JPJ is my pick.
I'm in on JPJ.
All right.
Also, I want to quick talk about Nate Wiggins because I think he's really talented. But I think that teams watched Emmanuel Forbes last year and were like, yep, not going to do it. Sorry. I watched A.J. Brown play against Emmanuel Forbes twice, and I'm not subjecting myself to that.
Yeah, that is a very interesting name because like, he's still available for us here at 27. Could definitely see him going higher, but to your point, I wonder if we've gotten a little bit scared.
Kool-Aid McKinstry for the Raiders feels like it makes a lot of sense.
Do we have to take Penix at this pick?
Oh, yeah. Either that or 35.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, right. I don't think it's impossible that he's there at 35. But I think to prevent anybody from getting you at the end of the first, like, and this is us obviously assuming that like this rumor trail is like a real thing and it's not just like draft fodder, but like I'm down to have Penix in our first round of this.
No, game. I agree. I was thinking 35 was the spot because of these, you know, there's six teams in here that you don't really got to worry about, but to prevent the trade up, I think you go get your guy.
All right, let's do it. Michael Penix is a first round pick this draft. The Bills, and it happened.
Oh, Andy Mitchell.
They didn't even have to move.
Nope.
And this is eight picks after Brian Thomas Jr., which is the like biggest what if for me on draft night is like, do we see Brian Thomas Jr. and A.D. Mitchell go like bang bang, or is there this separation that occurs? Is it like Brian Thomas Jr. and then we start rolling on the next crew? So
I think when you start calling attitude into question, I feel like that's when teams like kind of scratch them off their board. And that's what I think creates this separation.
Well, now there's also this diabetes
thing, right? Which is not common for athletes to have. I think of like Jay Cutler off the top of my head.
Yeah. But
like it's just, you know, it's not something that teams want to have to think about.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, the whole thing was like, is he managing it effectively? And there was some questions about that. So, all right. But Buffalo's not going to think too hard here. We need a player like this in the room. We're getting him. A.D. Mitchell. The Lions at 29, famously off the rails last year, and it worked out. So can we get a little weird on this pick?
Yeah, we can. We're taking Xavier Worthy.
What? They already have him.
Well,
they already have that player.
It didn't work out.
What? Don't do Jameson like that.
So something that, the esteemed Ben Solak, who's now gotten three mentions on this episode, said is Keon Coleman is an interesting player for them, which I don't think, he's not being talked about as a first rounder. And I think that's why this makes sense. Because Brad Holmes, I think, is feeling himself a little bit after last year's draft. You don't have a number two wide receiver behind Amon-Ra St. Brown. It's Donovan Peoples-Jones. You have Sam Laporta. Now, would Keon Coleman benefit from playing in the slot? Probably, as a big slot kind of guy. But you can play him on the outside. What do you think about that? I know that this is out of left field, but that's why I'm proposing it.
I mean, you don't have to sell me on the player, obviously, but...
Right. Is there a situation in the league where they have him on their board in the first round?
It's like, to me, that whenever this comes up, it's like trade down.
Right.
But sometimes you can't. And sometimes you just have to take your player. I think the only other name that really jumps out at me. Kool-Aid is here. That one to me is this is the chalk pick in this spot. Is let's just take Kool-Aid. Zach Frazier, interior lineman.
Dan I got Campbell. One for you. Darius Robinson.
Ooh, I kind of like that.
Yeah, fringe first rounder, don't really know what's going on with him. Dan Campbell's big guy that can do a lot of things. We need pass rush.
I want to take Keon just to say we got him in our first round, but I think Darius is the pick.
I think Darius Robinson feels pretty good.
That just feels right. So that's how you do mock drafts, right? Yep. It's this just feels like the
Brad Holmes already pick. Clicked on it. He's locked in.
Okay. All right. So number 30, the Baltimore Ravens, always the benefactors of some sort of fall, getting great value. So who is the player this year?
Is it Kool-Aid?
I think it's Wiggins or Kool-Aid. I think it's whoever you think they would take.
I don't think Wiggins is on their board. I think they also have a size threshold thing. I think they went out of it to get, say, Flowers. And I think that they correct back and go get Kool-Aid, who, not a huge player, but, not rail thin like Nate Wiggins. I really think that Emmanuel Forbes ruined skinny corners.
Yeah, and Wiggins is what, one?
He's 185, so he's 185. He's not Emmanuel Forbes as, 165. Yeah.
Right.
But, the visuals are bad.
Yeah, I'm down for Kool-Aid.
Okay. Also, I'll drink the Kool-Aid. All-time name.
Yeah. Incredible stuff. That's who I hope the Packers take. But
me too. It'd be unbelievable. People would be getting Kool-Aid jerseys. I'd want Kool-Aid to be on the back. You know how Japanese players, their last or their first name is on the back of their jerseys.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
I want that. I want Kool-Aid on the back of the jersey.
Two picks left in this mock. Maybe three. 31, the 49ers. I think this is very easy. Ooh. I think they take Jordan Morgan.
Okay.
Because they desperately – this is what complicates it is Morgan is projected as a guard. They they need a right tackle, but I don't think that stops. Like, I think we can work with this. We can find Morgan his best spot, but I think you just have to go line with this pick.
Oh yeah, they have. I was thinking about Sandra still, but they have Lenore, who's a really good player in their nickel, so they don't need him. Okay, all right, I'm in.
Jordan Morgan, not Ladd McConkey, even though he has the connection to San Fran. We'll see. And the defending champs, Kansas City Chiefs, famously took Clyde Edwards-Helaire with this pick once upon a time. Trey Benson?
You and Danny Kelly.
Yeah. Is that what he said?
Danny Kelly? No, he said that he's a first-round talent.
Trey Benson?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah, man. Come on, Danny. Let's go. All right. Let's go with... Oh, God.
They're a good team.
Like, all the line is, it's picked through. And
I think this is the actual trade-down team out of all these. You trade down to a team that wants to get in on this. Because there's going to be a wide receiver run coming.
Yep.
Top of the second round, you have the Panthers. Yeah. You have the Patriots, who went quarterback. You have the Chargers. You have the Titans. You have the Panthers again. Like, if you want to get in at – if you want to get at the top of this next run of wide receivers after A.D. Mitchell and Brian Thomas, like, I feel like this is the pick. And I don't think the Chiefs – I mean, maybe they start the run. That's my question to you.
They could start the run.
Because they're likely going to be without Rashee Rice for a period of time at the beginning of next season, because rumors are that he's going to be suspended for a couple games. But even if he's playing, like, all they have is Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice. So they couldn't, like, it wouldn't hurt to have another one.
You know what, man? I want to start the run. If I'm Kansas City, I want to start the run. I don't care if, you know, it's like, people think, oh, they're not going to take a wide receiver in the first round. Like, if Rashee Rice is suspended, I mean, it's like
I'm pretty sure there's, like, it's only going to be four games or something like that. But,
well, even so, we still need a name in here. Xavier Worthy might be a popular choice, but feels a little redundant with Hollywood Brown, and I get it. It's a one-year deal. That's not going to detract them from taking a guy here, but I still think you can go with a player like Ladd freaking McConkey.
I think Ladd actually fits what they want to do to work opposite Rice and Hollywood. Another name I'm going to throw it out there. He's been getting a lot of buzz lately. You mentioned him in our last episode. Jermaine Burton. A little bit of I can fix him. Because he's really, really talented. It's a little bit of a reach. He has some attitude stuff. But all that goes away when you're making Super Bowl runs with Patrick Mahomes, right?
Right. What if we already fixed Rashee Rice, so why can't we fix Keon Coleman?
I mean, I didn't want to say it. I couldn't bring his name up twice because that would make me feel desperate, but I love Keon Coleman here.
We've come full circle with this one. Like, there was once upon a time where it was like, man, if we get Keon Coleman into the Chiefs offense, that's going to be crazy. And then it was like, people hate Keon now. It's over. And now I'm like,
let's just give him Keon.
32 feels like the perfect spot for Keon.
I agree.
I'm in. We're getting him in the first round. This is a Keon Coleman program, Camp Dynasty.
Damn right. Florida State's very own Camp Dynasty.
Oh, you're damn right, man. All right, there it is. That's the first round. But bonus pick, Because the Carolina Panthers deserve some love after what happened to them last year. They no
what
longer
happened to them? Like they were an active participant in their demise.
Well, that regime's gone. So, you know, it's, you know,
rest
they're all
piss.
Yeah, seriously. But a new era, a new dawn for Carolina. Let's start it off right with their first pick of this draft, which is 33. The wide receiver run has begun.
Yep.
And I think we're going to continue that run.
I agree. It's Ladd.
And I'm going to pick Ladd.
It's Ladd.
Because
they need somebody that can separate. They have no – I mean, they bring in Deontay. And then you get the compliment. You get guys that can get open early for Bryce.
Yep. I'm in. Yep. We still got Jonathan Mingo to do whatever, develop maybe. Let's get Ladd in there.
Amen.
All right. So there it is, 33 picks in the NFL draft, all obviously correct, but probably like more like 5% correct, because this draft is truly a beast. And when you're trying to predict trades, which I am predicting there will be a lot of in the first round this year, becomes even harder to put it all together. But that's the beauty of it. That's the fun of it. We will all spend the next several days putting together our version of the first round, getting it all locked in. So here was just a sneak peek of Camp Dynasty's NFL mock for the 2024 draft. If you enjoyed our discussion about the first round and the players and the spots and all of those things, be sure to find us on Twitter, camp_dynasty, and TikTok at camp.dynasty. And also subscribe to our YouTube channel, Camp Dynasty. You can get in touch with us in all of those places. Let us know which picks you loved, hated, which ones we obviously got wrong. And then, of course, if you enjoyed, be sure to like, rate, review, subscribe, follow, and share the pod feed, because we appreciate that as well. And with that, Colin, happy frickin' draft week, man.
Damn, I'm so happy we're here. I can't wait to see where these guys end up so we can, you know, vehemently change our rankings. We can go in and be like, gut them. God, I can't believe this guy went in the fourth round. I thought he was obviously a high second rounder.
That show next week, man, that's going to hit different. This wide receiver group, we're going to overthink the hell out of it, and I can't wait for it. So
that's all I do.
Thanks for stopping by Camp Dynasty this week, and we'll see you next week.